Okay, welcome to a new episode of the India Independent Films Podcast. This is Rahul Desai here, film critic for Film Companion. we are breaking away from format slightly this week. It's a little unusual. We normally do only podcasts where I think a bunch of film critics get salty about shows and films. But today we have two writers behind, for me at least, one of the most captivating Indian shows of the year, Kora on Netflix. Released last month, it's been one of my favorites. I had a very interesting time writing about the show, and it's rare for me in my profession also to find so much in a show and still having so much to talk about it after so long. So I'm very glad to have you both, Gunjeet and Diggy, both writers behind Kora. And I'm just assuming that a lot of the listeners to have already watched Kora. If you haven't watched it, then please tune out because we are going to be discussing the show as well. But also, I'd like to be discussing a little more than that and writing in general because of course, for me, for the last couple of years, because I've been reviewing shows quite a bit, I have noticed a marked change in the way shows are written, in the way the kind of stories that are being told. And, you know, I'm very fortunate to be part of this entire discourse, and I'm glad it's happened now, because 10 years ago we know the kind of television that was being made. First of all, just let's start with how it's been for the last month for both of you, the reception to the show, the acclaim that it's gotten so far. Did you guys in any way sort of expect this, or do you look forward to something like this when you're writing the show?
No, not at all actually. We didn't expect anything. I still remember Sudeep once said, there, thoda bahut respect mil jayega aur zyada expect mat karna. So, and it's that kind of show that we shouldn't have expected a lot out of it, because most of it is in Punjabi and most of it like based in the heartland of Punjab. So, we didn't know how it would be received. Hmm. But it's been overwhelming. I mean, more than overwhelming, and the kind of response we've got, it has really, you know, struck the chord with the audience, and all kinds of audiences have been getting messages from all over the world actually.
And, it's actually been it's obviously very pleasant. it would be better this than people say, what if this is the worst show ever, you know. So but we obviously, like, we had no idea it's going to become what it has become now. For the most part, I remember when Gunjeet even first, you know, had the idea, and when we first started working on it on our own before we even took it to Sudhi. And Gunjeet and I, we were working on something else. And so in that initial process, when we worked on it together, it was just done out of, with 1000% integrity in that sense, but we were not looking to design a show in any way. The idea was just, there were these characters and their lives, and to explore those lives and explore them in a way where it feels organically correct for those characters, as opposed to this will work, this will not work, this will, a platform may or may not like this. Those were just not considerations right at the beginning when we started on it, because at that point we didn't even know what was going to happen. We just literally, honestly, we just wrote it for ourselves as a creative renewal. Hmm. For us, so for it to start there and then end here, it's also very reaffirming, to be honest.
Yeah,
it feels good.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I've always been curious, because you both have been long time collaborators. In a sense, how long has it been?
Yes and no.
Yeah, actually yes and no. Nothing came out earlier. So yeah, but we've been writing together since, I think it's been 5 years.
Okay.
And it all started because Irish House had Happy Hour.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I love that most writing stories start from there.
Yeah. So we were working on something that I was doing dialogues for, Diggy had written, but that kind of didn't work out. I opted out of the project, and then that project had its own journey. But then we started meeting. I mean, we just met for beers with no agenda on our minds. And I was just you know, puking out the ideas that I had. And I did Patalo, but Patalo hadn't released then. Okay. So I had a lot of stuff in me. And so I was like, yeah, these are the stories that I really want to tell. And one of those, drunken evenings, so I told him like a basic germ of Kora. And I said, yeah, this is what I really want to do.
Hmm.
And I told this to a couple of other people who didn't get it. So they were like, what the hell is this? I don't even know what this is. So he got it and we were like, okay, two mad people more than one. So it's like, yeah, it's much better than one person trying to tell a story. So we both were kind of, we tried to, and we actually started with something else actually.
The thing was, part of the journey was, I mean, there was a project that we connected on, which, you know, us working on, us creating and directing, and then it didn't come to pass, but Gunjit and I formed a friendship over the course of that particular project. And then that thing, you know, it went on the journey that it did. But we just remained friends. So we used to we used to meet literally just as two, you know, artistic resonance, so to speak, more than anything else. And then we became good friends. And then so a happy hour, we just hang out and And then that just kind of started to spin out into just conversations about stories and characters and story ideas and telling, etc., etc. Then we decided to collaborate on something else, which we worked on, which we still, I mean, at some point we'll kind of...
Which didn't turn out very well.
It needs a rewrite and then some. But over the course of that, we found that we kind of, you know, we really connect well and we work very well together as well.
Hmm.
So that was another interesting thing, because it's like, you know, if the two musicians were able to jam very well together, and then you just, you know, you have that jazz in that equation. So then they told me this particular idea, which was the one line on the concept, and then, you know, it was very exciting. And it's funny he tells you that, because he did when, you know, I got very excited about it, and then he said, you're kind of the first person who thinks it's a good idea, pitched it to a couple of other people.
That's what you need in Andheri, actually. Somebody to like your bad ideas, you know. Somebody to listen to your bad ideas and then say, yeah, it's not that bad.
And then we got
kind of fake confidence to get on to it and write one.
And next day we got sober and we still liked the idea. So we kind of, you know.
That's the test, right? Because even I live very close by. I live in Lokhandwala, and it's hard to really get out of the house without hearing a bunch of sort of narrations going on at most coffee shops, at wherever we walk. So, I mean, for me, I've always been curious about collaborators in general, how it starts. Because writing is a very lonely process, and in a very different capacity, I've been doing it for years. I know a lot of people who've been doing it. In that sense, I was wondering how much, just try to walk me through the writing process of Kora, because we have a lot of aspiring writers who listen, who want to get into the space, who want to tell long form stories. But the process is different from show to show, from person to person. Tell me a little about, just walk me through the process of writing from sort of beginning to end, because there's a broad sort of sense of, you know, what you had as an idea. Then you have to get into the specifics, the characters, the collaborators, you bring in, you know, the platform at some point. How was that right from the beginning?
Yeah, it's a long process. It's a very subjective kind of process. Yeah, it's different for different projects. For this one, you know, I was dying to tell the story. I was dying to tell a Punjab story. Mm. I had traveled a lot in Punjab. And I had read a lot about it. I met a lot of people. I spent a lot of time in rural Punjab. So I had a lot to say, but I had no idea, you know, how to say it. So, but then these two cops, which are inspired by two real people that I met in Punjab.
Hmm.
So I had a lot of personal stories of them. And then I had to look for what I was looking for, a A story. We had the B story. You had the characters, you had their lives, you had their problems, barriers. But then I had to look for a hook.
Hmm.
Then I was reading a lot of blogs from UK about homosexual people, you know, being forced to come to Punjab to get married and this and that. That's how, you know, these two things kind of got smashed, and you know, and then at the same time I saw Memories of Murder again, and that first scene kind of stayed with me, always stayed with me, about a cop coming to there. I think it was a paddy field or something, and somebody comes
the,
there, yeah,
the drain next
to the drain, and somebody sees a dead body. So that was there in my mind. So that I told him. But in this case, how we work together, well together, is that I brought a lot of research and a lot of heartland with me and a lot of Punjab ideas. But the good thing I did was I took him to Punjab. And I, you know, just gave him like a crash course of the story. Okay, these are the people I was talking about. So this is the land I'm talking about. This is the area I'm talking about. Because Punjab is also kind of huge, and it has different dialects, different areas, different land, different color. So then we kind of started, and we have very different ways to attack a scene, or different ways to go about a story. So that's what I think works for us. So then we started, and first you just kind of start, you know, vomiting the ideas. So that's what we did, because I had a lot to say. I told him, and he had a lot to add to it. So that's what I like about us. You know, I come up with an idea, he comes up with like a better version of that idea. So he comes up with an idea, I come with a better version, because when one is thinking an idea, you kind of get myopic about it. When you're thinking the same thing in again and again, so you can't think of a different shape of the same idea. The other person can. That's where I think we work together well. And we've lived very different lives. He's lived in the state for 20 years. I've stayed in Delhi. I've spent a lot of time in Punjab and Bombay. I'm very cultural in that sense. When I'm interested in very cultural and rooted stories, he's seen the world in a very different way. So that kind of worked, and we just started writing. We were like, let's just put everything, you know, that we can. That was our longest Bible we wrote. That was around 80 pages.
Oh, wow. Okay.
that Bible. It had 6 episodes, but it was very, very atmospheric, and you know, it was very moody. And not a great mood, so to say. It was, we wanted to create that mood. But then once we reached that Bible, we didn't know what to do. And we gave it to Sudeep one day, and we said, oh, this is what, and I've been working with him for a long time, and he's been kind of my mentor for years. So I just gave him to read, not to anything else. I said, just because he doesn't like many of my ideas. I said, this one actually comes from a very personal space. So let me just try. So I gave it to him, and he got back with enthusiasm. Although I didn't want to do a police procedural, I did one. We did Patal Lok together. It took us three and a half years. It had its own hurdles. So it took us years to write Patal Lok. I didn't want to see a cop uniform again. But it's just that, you know, this was just a very different kind of story. We thought that we actually didn't look at it as a police procedural. It was just to tell characters.
I mean, the thing was, but the one thing that we were very clear right from the beginning, and just kind of what was exciting for both of us, was that the murder, as you've said several times now, the murder and the investigation was just the peg on which we were going to hang the real story. For us was the lives of all these people, and you go into the dirt under the nails of these lives, and these lives that are so disparate that typically they would not intersect with each other, or these worlds wouldn't collide, so to speak. But this one murder ends up stringing these very different lives that are now crisscrossing, and the idea was to go to those lives as opposed to did the murder get solved. I mean, we obviously it's very important for the murder to get solved or not or what have you, but that was something that from the beginning itself we kind of knew. But the one thing, I mean, I correct me if I'm wrong, but it was also not something where Kunjit and I like had a deliberate conversation when we sat down at the beginning going, hey, you know what we should do? We should use the murder as a peg to go to the life of this character. It wasn't that. It was just like, okay, there are these characters. And then now, so both of us instinctively wanted to explore the lives of these characters. as opposed to instinctively just writing a whodunit.
Yeah, and then even when we were writing, it wasn't like, okay, we're doing screenwriting, let's just, you know, do the cliffhanger, let's just do this, let's just do, if we really see, this is totally not by the book kind of show.
Right.
You know, it is totally atmospheric, it is totally very personal, you're going into the personal life. If, you know, if you get a screenwriting guru, he would tell you, okay, where is the, you know, ticking clock, what's happening with the murder, where's the procedural, why aren't you going there, why is your character fighting with his daughter, why is he not in the police station figuring out about the...
He's not likable.
Yeah, or he's not likable, so he's too flawed or whatever. So that we didn't follow. And for some, you know, divine reason, it did come to us. It's especially till the time we went to sleep, you know, and we gave it to him and he had some important and great points about it. He said it's too atmospheric, maybe you need to...
Too bleak.
Yeah, maybe you need me to... You know, just raise everything in it to make it a commercial show, to maybe even to get a release or to work on it.
Mm.
So we worked on it for another 6 months.
Okay.
And, you know, just to give you a very small example, Sarkar's character was a guy who was doing a PhD in music in Punjab University and singing on a harmonium, and he said, "No, this is too good."
Right.
Okay, it's just making something else. Yeah. Let's make him a rapper. So, you know, those kind of decisions, which, you know, there is no right or wrong in that.
Hmm.
It's just that it just makes it more exciting, makes it more now, makes it more what people know, you know. So, yeah, these kind of changes we made. And we had a bigger Bible, like a longer Bible. then we kind of pitched it to... Actually, we actually had to write a pilot also.
Mm.
Then we wrote a pilot.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's always good to, especially in a show like this. Actually, it was a great decision by Sudeep also that you guys should write a pilot, because then you are able to tell the tone.
Yeah.
Then you're able to tell the language that you're trying to tell the story. You're defining your space, your, you know, atmosphere more. Because sometimes you kind of miss that in a Bible. Bible is more or less about a novel kind of thing where wherever you want, you kind of write 10 paragraphs about an emotion and suddenly, okay, one big chunk of scene you write in half a paragraph.
Hmm.
So people won't get it. So it was really about the putting the page count to the paper and just, you know, saying as we thought it should be told.
Hmm.
So that kind of helped. I think if you're talking about... Hmm. Many writers would like to know. I think pitching with a pilot is a far better idea than pitching only a Bible.
Yeah, but especially if you have some material, if you have something that is not an immediate, you know, this is not to disparage any genre or anything, but you know, like the whole younger, like if your story is not about some, I don't know, some 17-year-old teenager who's trying to find themselves XYZ and it checks all the boxes in an Insta way or so to speak, where any platform, any studio will just look at it going, oh, this is a no-brainer. Sure, yep, I think this we can sell, we can market, bam, 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 here's a green light, move on. But if your story is away, and which I'm not saying that those stories should not be told or I'm not being a snob about this at all. But if you have a story that requires a little more immersion of the viewer or what have you, it's always good if you give that pilot. It kind of, even for the people who you're speaking with for the green light, for the powers that be, for the money, it kind of makes it very clear what your vision is for the show, as opposed to just taking a police procedure which can go into 10 different directions. All of them are correct directions.
Mm.
Just depends on which direction you wish to choose. But in this, because it was very particular, so if you have something that is so particular, very important for you, that it stay that particular.
Hmm.
It's always good to have that pilot, because then it's like if you're taking something that's much more baked as a dish.
Right.
Well, look, this is our dish. If the dish doesn't work for you, that's fine. But, you know, if you're vada pav, masala dosa nahi ban jayega, kyunki dono mein aloo hai. You know, wo nahi ho paayega.
And I think if you take out the personal story, personal track from first couple of episodes, it becomes a very different show.
Mm.
It becomes a whodunit, which we didn't want to do.
Mm.
That's where maybe pilot was kind of important. And then Netflix approved the show, and then we had a writer's room with Sudeep for, I think, 3 months.
three, four months.
Three, four months, which was quite intense.
Okay.
Which is like picking up everything and getting more stories. A couple of tracks were not there that came.
Hmm.
And, you know, and he knows his procedures very well.
Yeah.
So he knew what's going to work and what's going to be. We were sometimes, you know, we're like, you're like, yeah, you know, let's just do this. But he knew how to, you know, how to get work out of us.
Hmm.
And he was always a great help. So that was, that 3-4 months were quite intense. And we had a lot of soul of the show. But then we got a good, very good, robust structure also with the soul.
Yeah, and also, I mean, there another thing that I think Sudeep was absolutely kind of, you know, fabulous within the conversation we were having, and we were all, you know, all three of us are hitting the same obstacle in terms of when we are in the thing, was how do you, because, I mean, obviously to tell a story interestingly, it has to have certain obstacles, etc., 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 but we live in a world that there's such a technology immersion in it, right? So, like, how do you... the phone triangulation. We were like technically you can pretty much solve almost anything now. So how do you approach it when you approach it, and how do you kind of not approach it so you can tell it a little more in, so that scene can be more interesting where the audience doesn't miss the point, but why is the technology not being used here, so
right,
to speak.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was another thing that he was very very smart in helping navigate that. Let's not worry about how realistic it is over here. Let's just speak.
Sometimes you get into logic and spoil the scene.
You get trapped into the logic of, no, but this, it doesn't make sense. But then it's like, okay, how do you blunt it enough where we can all, it's plausible, it's not absurd, but it's plausible, but it may not necessarily be the most realistic particular thing in that moment.
Right.
So that was something.
Yeah, and then the good thing was we had a lot of research about Punjabis and how they work. And especially, I mean, we didn't want to show these two characters are flawed and very real. But if you really see police cops, I mean, everywhere, especially in Punjab, they're not having a good time.
Yeah.
They can't even go to their whatever niece's wedding because they have a case, they have to go to some high court, they don't have a car, the only SHO has a car, then you have to ask for somebody's car, go there. You know, all these things, smaller things. Yeah, he said, I can't even have a drink in my car in the cop uniform. Somebody will make a video and put it on YouTube, I'll lose my job.
Hmm.
So, you know, all these things. We don't talk about cops' PTSD. We don't talk about how most of them have diabetes. Most of them are overweight. They have a lot of problems. So we had a lot of research that we were trying to get, but not in a way that we are, you know, trying to show you what's wrong with the police department or anything like that.
So how worried were you that it would be construed as more of a whodunit? Because it is a police procedural, and of course, most police procedurals by nature offer social commentary. They become cultural investigations, right? So, at least the viewing habits tend to be that, you know, twist hai, last episode mein, they will reveal who did it, whether we like it or not. And more often than not, that's how, unfortunately, of not shows, long-form stories tend to get judged, because a lot of viewers that I encouraged to watch the show for were like, you know, we could see it coming maybe from the penultimate episode. And of course it was there, you know, in plain sight. How could nobody see? I was like, but that was the point, you know.
Yeah.
The thing is, because it is a patriarchally conditioned land, because the police were leading the viewers into all the more cliched directions of Punjab, which was, say, drugs and class rage, and there was a land dispute, and everyone was a suspect except the most obvious two people. And but that's the thing, when you have a revelation in the end, that's the sword you sometimes die by. And, you know, it is a bit of a risk. And that's why even when I reached that point, when you're actually revealing in a flashback that this is exactly what happened, were you worried that was maybe how it would sway viewers into thinking?
Yeah, sometimes, yes. It depends on the viewer, actually. Some people put away some very funny things on Twitter, ki yaar ye to crime patrol ka episode
hai.
Correct. Yeah. So it's like we are taking you to a journey.
Yeah.
And the characters are also going through the journey. So that kind of, you know, caught us into the show. us also into the show, characters also. Mm. I mean, creators and the characters at the same time. So you actually, you know, really being their characters bit by bit, bit by bit in the episodes. So that was the idea. We weren't worried about it. Mm. I mean, if you really see second episode's header, when you see a shot of the young Liam, most people kind of guess.
Yeah, immediately.
This could be the thing. But we weren't worried about it because we want that show from the start.
Yeah.
If we were that show, then we would have been worried. I mean, we didn't start out to be that show. So I guess, I mean, we were ready for that risk. And it didn't really come to us, okay, yeah, if the logo ne pehchan liya, to kya hoga? Aisa, I mean,
yeah, and look, the thing that from the first episode onward, we have sprinkled the fact that it is Liam.
Yeah.
Who had, right from the engagement video also, he's not happy. You see that header, he's missing. You know, so there are several things that we're not trying to hide that. The idea which a lot of people thankfully kind of got in terms of how they appreciated the show is that the arc or the journey or the impact of this particular investigation on the life of Babi, on the life of Karundi, while but it's like this, while Balbir was stuck in this investigation, and from his daughter's point of view, it's one more case.
Yeah.
It's just one more case that's going on. But they are at a place in their lives where there is so much turmoil going on that in the middle of that case, there are things that have transpired in Nimrat's life.
Hmm.
Which are of far greater importance. Someone got murdered, some the person's lover did or didn't do it, is not that important in Nimrat's life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the idea was to create those connections with these people where you're invested in the lives of these people you are seeing and you're watching that unfold as opposed to, oh, is this necessarily connected to the murder or not? So, I mean, that was, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is people are not even talking about the twist.
Yeah.
That is the best thing, actually. People are actually talking about the characters, people are talking about the journey, people are talking about how they liked it, didn't like it, how flawed, you know, how insecure the men are in the show.
Yeah.
So they're talking about the things that we actually wanted them to get. So it's a very win-win situation. We don't want people to say, okay, aapka twist aisa tha, hame kabhi samajh nahi aaya. That was not the idea in this. Show
too clever by half is what it would have been then.
Yeah.
But and then the other thing, look, for us was that I don't think this was even conscious, to be perfectly honest, but we have not judged any of our characters. Like we have not made a single judgment call on any person's any decision. It's in their own worlds, it makes perfect sense. I mean, like there's some stuff online about Veera and Veera's being so cold-hearted. I personally, I don't agree. Veera's living within the parameters of her circumstance. Within that, she made a call on what she was going to do, which was with Paul. You see the integrity of Veera when she comes clean to Paul. So within her own world, she's doing as right by as she can.
Hmm.
And then one more thing just kind of is going to turn her world upside down. She has to find a way to tilt it back to her own existence.
Hmm.
And that is all that she's gone and done at the end. So, I mean, for us, it was just, you know, all these characters were, they were in their lives. We were getting a glimpse of their lives as opposed to, oh, look, this is the correct person, this is the wrong person, this is the grey person. It wasn't, you know, there was...
Yeah, and I think while we were working on it, it became very personal. It's a very personal show for me, for Tiki, and even for Sudeep, although he hasn't written it. He was telling me the other day, he said, it's a very personal show, it's my most personal show, you know. Because you are dealing with such characters and their lives, you know, even while shooting Garundi's house, I remember, you know, at night, Sudeep and I were talking, okay, you know, this track is actually, you know, very beautiful.
Mm.
We haven't seen something like this, and we were both were like, yeah, it'll be nice to see how it comes out. It'll be nice to, you know, very happy to explore the whole space of these characters rather than you know, thinking about the end or even the end result or even the success of the show for that matter.
Because for me, obviously, the most like striking part of the show and which gave me a lot of sort of satisfaction while watching it also is actually realizing in the end when you find out about the identity of the killer and when you find out that, you know, Liam has sort of been responsible for it. It sort of, you almost go behind and start joining the dots, because I don't know how conscious it is as writers, because you say that you, of course, came up with the characters, came up with their personal lives, wanted to explore that aspect. But a lot of it already reflects the murder that was in plain sight through all along, right? Because there's a line in one of some review I read that basically said that, you know, the murder happens in the fields, but the killing has been happening behind closed doors. And, you know, that makes a lot of sense because in all in all the personal lives that you're basically seeing throughout, whether it's Garundi, whether it's Balbir, or even the other characters, the younger character, the conflict between the parents and the child. One, his cousin wants to be seen and he lashes out, he hires a killer. So it's always about the younger generation, like almost lashing out and desperate for validation from a traditional generation that does not understand them. And that is the, also that is the identity of what happens behind the murder, is because nobody saw them. It's because nobody acknowledged them, even though the father may have been obviously very, he could see it. And that's why it was such a estranged relationship. So in that murder, there are so many clues throughout, you know, sprinkled in the personal lives. Throughout, it's like young people wanting to be seen and threatening violence if they don't. And that's what I was so fascinated about, saying that how do you get that sort of maybe subconscious balance when you're writing about these personal lives, when you're going from episode to episode, working on every scene? How conscious is it that, okay, we know our killers, we know what happens in the end, but we need to not just spring it on it. The symptoms have to be there throughout.
I think you have to take character by character. I mean, we actually loved writing Happy too. Like, Happy is the one who's not happy.
Yeah.
And I was also trying to make sense of Punjab. I'm also a Punjabi. I was also trying to make sense of the maybe upper middle class or the Punjab that is, that is very disoriented right now.
Hmm.
Where young people hardly have a say because most of them are stepping out. And even when they go out, you know, and when they go out, they don't get that out when they go out. I mean, if you are living in Vancouver and Surrey, it is as bad as or as good as living in Punjab.
Yeah.
So the patriarchy doesn't leave you. Maybe, you know, you are in a stronger hold of patriarchy because you are in a Gora world. Now you have to behave in a way.
Hmm.
You know, now you have to be a more Sikh than a Sikh who's in Punjab. You know, so if you really see the Punjabis and Sikhs outside India, they try to, stay in that patriarchy. They try to stay in that, you know, family hold. They are trying to clutching at the culture. They are trying to, you know, just trying to get hold of it. Okay, we don't leave it. And then where the problem starts actually, you know, even with somebody like Liam, when I was all reading the blogs, I know a lot of people. I know a lot of girls, or Indian American or maybe British Indian, who go from here, but you know, when they're going to school, they're interacting with white people, colored people, different kind of people, and you know, they have a very different life. Once you come back home, you have a very protected life, and then you have to go to the Gurdwara every Sunday. So they kind of get disoriented in this whole thing, who we are.
Hmm.
You know, that's what maybe happens with somebody like a Paul. You know, he doesn't know where he belongs. You know, the dad wants him to go back, ek Punjabi ladki sa shaadi karke aap wapis aa jao, have a good life. So that was, I was also trying to make sense of, you know, who am I, who we are, what Punjab is. So I think most of those things came from that, and they were all in the, I think when we were discussing, they were in our subconscious rather than we would think, okay, let's just say something about this character. I think it became our subconscious rather than we were consciously trying to, you know, give certain traits to certain characters. I think they were all kind of in a mess and they were all trying to get out of it. Hmm. It's just that women were much stronger than the men when they were trying to come out. So that also we didn't plan.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the one thing to just clarify also is that all these characters when we were writing, we were, again, because we were going to the lives of these characters, so and then what's happening in terms of the society that they are inhabiting, which we know, that's a finite thing. If you're in a patriarchal society from Punjab, there are certain XYZ things that are just, you know, those are the guardrails of your environment, so to speak. Right, but when we were writing it, that we were reacting to the scene also from the, when this particular character comes across this particular situation in his or her world, how are they, what are they feeling, what is their emotional feeling, how are they conducting themselves within of who these people are, as opposed to saying, is character get through, we can make a comment on this particular ill of society, and we can take this particular character and make this great our own thought on a particular, you know, ideology or moral issue. We are going to make this comment through our characters. What we were very clear on is that our job was to serve the characters and their world. It was not the job of the characters to serve our world or whatever is hip and cool today in terms of that's considered a value system, right, etc. Our value system has nothing to do with the value system of the characters and the world they are living in. Hmm. It is for us to adapt and serve that world for that to ring true for our characters most importantly.
Right. That's very interesting, because a lot of the shows, obviously a lot of stories I've been watching over the last few years, especially when the internet discourse has sort of blown up so much and a lot of shows fall into sort of trouble also because of that, is how politically correct they are, politically, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because it did feel like, it never felt like you were going out of your way to make a statement about something or a comment, because the characters sort of, you know, is what you were serving first. When did Randeep Jha as a director sort of, first of all, join the project for you as writers? And how much did that change or not even change, but sort of shape your vision of the show? Had you watched his previous film? Had you watched his work?
Yeah, actually, we all are actually rep by the same agency, Tulsi. So Chaitanya from Tulsi, he sent me Halahal. He said, just watch the show. I know your work. Yeah, I think you working on this. So I saw the film. Sudeep saw the film. Then I met Randeep, where we are sitting right now here. Randeep came and Diggy and I had written a short film, you know, which is called Paranda, which I thought I'll shoot in Punjab. Randeep just came and said, what's happening? I said, this is the short film that we've written, and just he read it 5-6 pages, and he read it, he said, very nice, and he forgot about it, and then, you know, we forgot about our meeting, and I think 1 year later or something, Sudeep actually contacted Randeep for Kora. But by then, we had all our drafts ready.
The actual development of Kora was completely done. And then when it was the decision to decide, pick the director, that's when also Sudeep was like, said, look, check out Halal. Because, you know, we were looking at two directors and we both saw Halal, really liked it. It's a very good film. And again, the language of it was something I remember talking to you. I said, the guy is serving the story. His language, this cinematic language is not, it's, you know, a lot of directors want to just show their skill as they go, let's make it a flashy angle. Why is your angle there? Why is the camera moving at that point? It's not an ad film, man. I don't care how shiny the Jeep is, so to speak. You know what I mean? And even in Halal, Randeep was very kind of, almost all of it for himself, it seemed, even before Kora, was that it comes organically from how the story is unfolding and what the characters are. And that was something he actually did on, he did an incredible job on Kora.
I think I remember when I used to go to office pretty regularly. He was actually preparing with his team and all that. He used to like catch hold of me. He used to say, sit with me. Tell me more about Garundi's life. Tell me more about this character. You know, so he was very curious. He was very curious about the characters. And none of us cared whether Randeep comes from Punjab or not. You know, so it that doesn't matter. If you get the story, the tracks and what they are trying to do, it doesn't make a difference if you come from that heartland or no. But I guess his visual style is so smooth and so simple, simple in that sense that, you know, the Punjab just look the way it is. I mean, very raw. And why I mentioned Paranda, that later that short film became a track of Shinda in the in Kora. So that was the short film that I was trying to make, and it became a Shinda and Roop track. And And Randeep forgot about it. And one day on the set, I told him, I said, yeah, do you remember that short film? He said, oh, yeah. I said, so, yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, he got a very unobtrusive style because it's so easy to get carried away when you're shooting, you know, in the heartland in Punjab, as you said. Also, the, you know, the title means fog, so you can get so carried away with you know, the atmospherics of it all. And I found it fascinating that you're not making it gimmicky. You're letting the story be the star of the, you're letting the writing be the star of the show. And that itself for me was a big triumph of the filmmaking also. You know, not enough credit. It becomes as invisible as the editing. It becomes as invisible as the sound design, you know.
And it requires an immense confidence in yourself as a director or a story, or an editor or whatever, you know, or somebody doing the music to say, you know what, this is what this needs. Yeah. I am not going to do, I can do 500 things more. I am not going to. And to make that choice for yourself, and those choices that have been made for themselves did make the show also so much better.
Yeah, even Saurabh, who shot it, Saurabh. I mean, it's not shot in any, even edited in any, none of the styles are very flashy or, you know, yeah, that was the idea actually we discussed. I mean, even in our writer's room, I used to always tell people, let's do Ludhiana. Nobody has seen how Ludhiana is. Ludhiana is so great. Ludhiana is actually great, full of, you know, textile mills and cycle factories. And, you know, there are 1,000 Ludhianas in Ludhiana. You know, so that's what you see in Kora. You see green fields and you see factories and you see chimneys and you see all kinds of Ludhiana. So actually, we never saw. Even in the typical Bollywood scene, you saw Amritsar, and then you have a certain kind of background music like Dhol Patashe, Tati, whatever. You know what? So I just wanted to get away from that. I was so sure that I don't want to write any of the scenes which shows any mustard. So, you know, 3 months ke liye mustard hoti hai, usko pura state bana diya hai aapne.
Matlab, so, I like the fact that you started with a body in that field.
Yeah, that was it's just we were trying to turn around the cliche.
Yeah, yeah,
you
totally.
So that was the idea. Yeah.
How do you like that mustard field is now?
Yeah, exactly. That's the first thing that stands out to anyone who's sort of grown up watching Bollywood films in the 90s or even watches like modern Punjabi films. So. It was an immediate hook for, I think, a lot of us. And how involved were both of you, given that you had spent so much time writing, how involved were both of you with the production while on sort of shoot and then post-production maybe after that? Because a lot of storylines maybe sometimes emerge in the edit or during production. So,
yeah. I mean, I also did the dialect coaching for the actors. So I was there on the shoot, and I was very particular about how the dialogues would be spoken. Like Diggy and I know the emotions of it, okay, how we've written the dialogue. But I just wanted to make sure that it doesn't, you know, sound gimmicky and all that. Even now, even Sudeep understands a lot of Punjabi. His Punjabi is way better than a lot of Punjabis. So I was still there on every day on shoot. You know, just to, you know, sometimes make sure just, or sometimes just be involved or just be, you know, there on the shoot. And, you know, talking to actors, sometimes you subconsciously give them something that you won't tell them otherwise. I mean, you know, I had long chats with Varun Rundi. Just, I don't even know why I was having, you know, we used to go for long walks between shots and all that. I was telling him about a lot about Punjab and all that. He was quite surprised by it. Yeah, aisa Punjab hota, I have no idea. But I think subconsciously that kind of worked for the show.
I mean, I was there for a few weeks in between, just, you know, because I mean, I don't speak Punjabi to start with. But I think some of that, what also because Gunjit was, he's so particular with dialects. And again, my knowledge of so much of Punjab has come from the start of our friendship, and then after we do, like, I mean, now I can kind of, you know, walk in certain places and talk about Punjab. But yeah, right, man. let's I'll out Punjab you, so to speak. But so there was this, wasn't even just the dialects of, like, you know, okay, you get Dwabi ya Manji, this, that, like, you know, going to dialects like out within Ludhiana or whatever, how it will change. So there were things that changed like that. Now when he's changing that, and when the actor's gonna say something, right, and we're just like, no, but this particular word will be spoken in this way. The moment you're changing the intonation of a particular word or a sentence, the emotion will change, right? So that guiding of that emotion from the point of view of the line, where a character that it suddenly your the phonetics will change your own instinctive instincts of how you will deliver that line. Because you will hit a particular note. And that will inform the emotion in a particular way.
So, yeah, and sometimes you cheat also. like Varun, sometimes he speaks very Delhi Punjabi.
Yeah.
So you give him a gully of a Punjab Punjabi, and then the rest of the line is in Delhi Punjabi, no one cares. So you have to know how to cheat. And we had tracks, you know, where they're like Veera's family, you know, they were all speaking in Hindi. That's how you have.
Yeah.
People don't know. I mean, even in Ludhiana, there are Punjabi Hindu refugee families which came from Pakistan. They all speak in Hindi. You know, it's not that everyone in Punjab is talking Punjabi.
Mm.
You know, so we had to give, you know, find out tracks where we can have Hindi. And so I was there on the shoot. And then I think it was Sudeep who took over everything. And he was the
main showrunner. So yeah. Sudeep was showrunning.
He was the main actually guiding force for everyone.
Mm.
So even on shoot, he was there every day. Really? And, you know, we cut a lot of scenes. We made them short just because, okay, we were like, you know, zyada baat ho rahi hai, itni zarurat nahi hai, let's just cut this line. So he used to cut a lot of lines. He used to give it to me and they cut it. It makes no sense now that we've shot that scene, you know, this way. I don't think we need this.
Hmm.
And then after that, edit is, I mean, he's very good with everything. So I think even on post, he called us for the first cut and he said, yeah, what are your points and all that. Hmm. But I was too immersed in it. I became too myopic after a point. I said, yeah, mera show ban raha hai.
Also, when you have actors like Suvinder Vicky and even Barun Sopte to an extent, given that you were also involved in the shoot and as a writer, how much of your writing mind sort of wants to try new things when you have actors with that sort of potential?
Yet sometimes, because I think we had the script was quite tight. What we really see on screen is what we wrote.
Oh, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, it is 99%
is what was on the page.
But yeah, some of the jokes came later. Some of the jokes came from Barun. Some of the jokes came from Suvinder Paji. And even at the Sakar, he said, phone check karo Shatarmurkha. Shatarmurkha, I mean, we, Randeep, we all started laughing. I mean, Shatarmurkha, we haven't heard that word in a while. So all these things came in. And, you know, that's the beauty of working with secure actors. You can even sometimes tell them, okay, Baji, aise bol ke dekhte hain, ye aisa kar lete hain. They are so, you know, ready to explore in a scene.
Hmm.
So that was actually very good. And I think Randeep had worked with them so much. You know, earlier they had workshop, this, that, everybody's kind of was on point. But writer's mind actually, it works when you actually try to shift stuff or try to delete a track or something. And then you like, yeah, if we have deleted something in the first episode, will it work in the second or what will we do? So I think that way
we didn't face that.
Yeah,
actually,
we didn't face much of the problem.
What was unfolding is what we had written. So, I mean, if anything, it was just, I mean, the improvisations were things that were making the scene better.
Yeah, and I think we deleted a couple of scenes. Even in the edit, I mean, we got some of the scenes from the second episode to the first, and you know how, you know, everyone who writes shows can tell you how difficult it is to pull off a good pilot.
Hmm.
As the bane of the pilot, you know, that should be a show in itself. how to write and shoot and execute a good pilot.
Hmm.
So yeah, that you always face. And on edit, Sudeep did a lot of shuffling here and there, and in the end, and some of the scenes got deleted, but that's all right. It all worked out for us. And the episodes were not too long, so that was a good
thing. All the actors were so good, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, and that, which again, I mean, you know, credit to Nikita Grover who cast it, like, everybody was on point, right? So it was, again, just from writer's point of view, like, you're literally, even the smallest of characters that you've written, you are seeing them come to life and you're like, yep, that is Pramod Kumar. You know, like, yes, right. That is happy. That is, that Silky is that, you know. So Kulli, I mean, you're like, Kulli, so you're like, okay, literally you're like, okay.
So that guy was helping us when I was doing some research. I had to go to some police stations actually, near the border area. So Kulli, the guy who played Kulli, his name is Jagga. He was the guy who was helping us. He just took us.
Right.
No, he was just talking, ye ipdilu ka gaon hai, ye iska gaon hai, ye uska gaon hai. So, you know, know, we crossed all that and we went to the border area. So, and Polami, who was also involved in the writer's room, she works very closely with Sudeep. And we were like, yeah, he's very interesting, his look is very interesting, and we should use him. And then he said, main to actor hoon, par mere ko South industry mein jana hai. You know, like, there's all these things. Actually, when you do the research, you have to keep your eyes open. And and the good thing is, sometimes it's good that we weren't too involved in the editing. I mean, you need an editor like Sayukta to really, you know, chop off some of the things that you overwrite. So editor's job to make it, make your writing look so much better.
So one of the criticism that emerged last month, I'm sure maybe you are aware of that, maybe not, but I sort of saw it coming also, because the twist is obviously that, you know, a sort of queer man kills another queer man, and of course the criticism is that it's a sort of minority, and how much, and that, you know, they are again portrayed as victims, right? And that happened, that tends to happen with a lot of shows that have multiple themes, multiple characters. I was curious, as sort of writers, as creators, how much do you think you sort of, and I know you stuck to the characters, but was it a conscious choice? And how much do you think you have the moral responsibility to, say, be a certain way about a certain community or about a minority? Because, of course, the other heterosexual characters in the show don't kill each other. It's mostly, it is the, in the end, the gay man who kills his lover. So I was...
I know what you're saying, and all respect, all communities, that's the not even a point of discussion. But, you know, it's the show kind of, it's just that we have that, twist in the end. If we really see, Raji is trying to do something, worst. She's trying to, bomb the wedding.
Yeah.
Or the engagement. And if that happens and 10 people die, then she's the worst killer than Liam. And even that Liam killing wasn't like we were trying to give somebody or somebody from a certain community a certain shade. Not at all. It's actually a passion.
I think the
crime of passion.
I mean, the one thing that we feel a little, I don't know why it's not coming across. It should have in our heads, at least it did, is that if you really look at it, Liam is also a victim.
Yeah.
Paul and Liam are both victims. The problem is that Liam's identity is beyond just his sexual orientation, as is Paul's, right? So for us, it was a thing of, there are these two characters who love each other. So what if they are men, right? But the world that they live in, that patriarchy, has come down to a point where this is where it is a love that got destroyed, not because of anything that was wrong between the two of them. It was a love destroyed by the world. And what a fucking tragedy that you end up killing the one thing that you love the most, which is what happened with Liam. Mm. And when that happens, Liam steps in front of the truck.
Yeah.
I mean, why are people not talking about that? That the person did the, he made he, Raji was premeditated.
Yeah.
Raji sat there going, screw this, I'm gonna leak the thing and I'm gonna do it. So are we saying that all women are murderers? Are we saying all women are terrible, devious creatures? No. But that character did that. Liam, in that, that's a crime of passion. The whole point of Kora is the senselessness of the killing.
Yeah.
It's a senseless killing. It did not need to happen. It was, and again, it exists for us. Maybe we should have, when Clara, in the end, when you knew this, that, he says, they loved each other. It should have been enough.
Yeah.
That is the, that's also us as writers trying to explain that to the world. Like, it's not in anything. We're saying that, look, you can't like destroy somebody's life just because of what their sexual orientation, etc., etc., etc. Liam is a victim. People are not understanding that Liam is as much of a victim. He acted out. I mean, it's a lashing out. It's a lash out. It's an accidental death.
Yeah, I mean, nowhere we were trying to tell you that Liam is a killer.
Mm.
And if the audience feels that, really, it's then we haven't done it properly.
Like Shinda, it was like, I mean, it's not his fault someone stepped in front of the truck. Now, are we saying that by that logic, then, you know, well, firstly, I mean, Shinda is really kind of fluid. It's like, you know, he's married, he loves, he's, we're not boxing him into any kind of sexual identity for Shinda, one. Two, are we now saying that all Punjabi truck drivers are sloppy drivers? Mm. Because, you know what, guess what, there's a hit and run. Now, suddenly, these two riders think Sardars can't drive. No, that's not at all.
Yeah, even if you see, Balbir is a cold-blooded murderer. He actually murdered someone.
Yeah,
it's just that and a wife beater.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And a wife.
So yeah, I mean, there was. We had no prejudice, yeah. We had no nothing of that sort.
That was never intentional.
I actually felt really bad for Paul and Liam. That's how the story started. If you really read blogs of homosexuals from UK who are from the Punjabi community, you'll feel their pain. It's just that we told the story from the two cops' point of view, so we couldn't tell the Liam and Paul story. So we actually, you know, want the audience to imagine their story rather than thinking of them as one of them as killer. No, we want you to feel the pain of them. And we want you to feel the pain of them from Steve's character, from our mother's character, from Clara's character, even from Balbi's character where he's trying to understand. That's why it's the, you know, Pyar Badi Gandu Chiz. He understands that.
Yeah. I mean, love is a dog from hell. You know, Pyar Badi Gandu. And even that whole, the whole thing of when Liam acts out the way he does, what's happened is, also, you see, just before that, Sarkar's there at that spot watching Veera, go down on Paul.
Yeah.
Paul's, Veera, if you really look at it, in that sense, Paul, Veera's trying to come clean, going, hey, this is me, this is what happened, this was Sarkar, do you want to say something? No. Now, Paul is like, man, she's being, what am I going to tell her? I can't break this now here, right? So, from Paul's point of view, Paul is smarter. When he meets Liam, Liam expecting like, okay, we've discussed this. You were supposed to go tell her this. You've gone and done this. So now, all these worlds are falling apart. Falling apart, why? Because of these people being trapped by the environment they are in. The villain is the world that they are forced to inhabit. The villain is the patriarchy. If anything, we've not judged anybody's sexual orientation or for that matter, any parts of behavior, Rachi and Garungi do what they do.
Yeah, and we actually got two transgenders to play transgender characters in Kora. They were the real transgenders. So we were quite cognizant of that thought that we don't want somebody else to play them.
Yeah,
you know, so yeah, I mean, it didn't even come to us. So, I mean, that's the discussion is valid. Okay, yes, if you really see the spectrum or if you really see the array of a lot of shows coming out, then one should question and one should have a discussion. It is, you know, totally valid and it should happen.
But and absolutely, but the thing was that for us, Liam and Paul, and they were fully formed people. Their identity wasn't one single thing. Paul wasn't just a lawyer. Paul wasn't just gay. Paul was... lawyer, Paul was gay, Paul was a lawyer, Paul was a loving son.
Yeah.
He was a loving son. You know, so these are living, they are flesh and blood with their own faults and their own desires.
And a lot of people that we know from our family, from our friends, from very close friends, my best friend is gay, and they all kind of really, most of them really liked it. So it's not that, you know, we did show it to people and say that, okay, you know, this is what we are trying to do. It's not that we were coming from a very clean heart in that sense of not judging anyone and trying to portray the characters as they are.
It's a tragic love story.
Yeah.
What's happening with Paul, what's happening with Paul and Liam is a very tragic love story. It's not a murder story.
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree with that, because one of the things that sort of did not occur to me is their sexual orientation by the end of it. It's because, like, there was so much sort of empathy. And as you said, you know, crime of passion could have been anyone. And that's, and I guess that's also, you know, how much you get absorbed in sort of the storytelling before that or the writing before that, and what leads two people to do something like that, you know, how trapped you feel to do something like that. And so that is, of course, you know, very valid, and it didn't occur to me, but I was very curious about the discourse happening myself.
Of course, the discussion is important. Even Shinda and Roop's story, it's a very tragic story.
It is
And I've spent a lot of time in those transport nagars in Jalandhar and Ludhiana, and there it happens. You know, transgenders, most of them are sex workers.
Yeah.
How their love goes, nobody cares about them. That's what we were trying to tell you. I mean, even with Shinda, and that's a very tragic love story. There is love there.
Even Roop Sagam, sorry, just before Shinda's gonna get couple of, it's a betrayal, lad. He's like, I love you. You're gonna turn me to the cops. It's just, for whatever it was. I mean, who knows what will happen with Shinda? But in terms of that, at that point, again, that's another love that is falling apart. These are betrayals. It's like how could you?
Yeah.
It's a how could you? And that's what happens with Liam and Paul when Paul tells him I couldn't do it. Liam says, like, how could you not?
Mm.
Like, how could you not be this? It's us. How could you not?
Mm.
How could you not save us?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, with all those things, it's there.
Yeah. I mean, because even Happy sort of hires someone to kill, you know, Paul. So it's there all along, basically. It's just that not a lot of them succeed, and in the
end, that was also one of the things. If the bus had really hit the car, and you know, Paul would have died.
Yeah,
I mean, that means not all brothers and cousins are trying to do it, but it's just a character who's got motivation. He's stuck in some kind of family structure where he's supposed to do it.
Hmm.
And the whole thing, like with Liam, there's instant regret, right? There's instant regret with Liam.
He calls his mother. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even with Happy, when Malla gets him out of the cop station, he's not my brother.
Yeah.
Paul's dead. Paul's throat was cut. Head was smashed. All this happened. But again, we're not judging Happy. Imagine how much pain Happy is in while this is all transpired. He's no brother of mine.
Yeah.
You know. So it's. If you, that's probably more fucked up than.
Yeah, I know. Even Rachi's love for Gulundi. The whole thing has happened and all that, and she still says I love him, and that's what she's done for love. They were all trying to do something.
The thing I think which does come across is that Chung and Rachi, this whole thing started with her kind of seducing Garungi or whatever, so that he doesn't get married and the property doesn't get disputed. So this is a brother and his wife who have schemed in the property against the blood brother. This is two brother, one brother scheming against another brother. Neither Ranji nor Jung counted on Ranji falling in love with Karoli. That's the pickle in that scenario. But the point is, these are people scheming against a family member for the sake of property.
Hmm.
You know, so it's a pretty screwed up thing to do. Everyone does fucked up things. That's the whole. Everybody can't do cheese on me.
Totally. And I was just another thing that, we've sort of gotten into Kora, and of course your work's been greatly appreciated, but how sort of do you feel fortunate that you're sort of writing shows, because you've been doing this for a while also, you've been around in a way, Diggy, you've sort of worked abroad for a long time, sort of, do you feel fortunate at any point that you're telling stories at this point of time during an OTT sort of bubble, so to say? Because 10 years ago, this might have been a very difficult story to bring across. Maybe you'd be forced to make it into the film. Maybe it would be a terrible show on television. To basically make complex shows the way you want.
Probably
right
now,
wouldn't be made. Yeah, it wouldn't be made. So do you think about sort of, It's the best time to be a writer right now, or is it more than that?
It's an everyday fight, actually.
Yeah, it is.
It's still a fight.
Hmm.
Kura got my view, fortunate. Netflix liked it. Sudeep really liked it. He supported us in a way nobody could have.
Yeah.
I really think nobody could have supported us in that way. But yeah, it's then maybe we are lucky to find those people.
Yeah, but to be considered as really fortunate that, like, so much that Kora is such an undiluted or uncorrupted thing of what we created, absolutely. Chances are probably 5 years ago, would we have explored this? Probably not.
Hmm.
You know, and I would say it's not even something of you can't do it abroad, you can't do it here, you can do it abroad. I mean, everywhere it's a fight. I mean, in that sense, fortunate, but it's changing.
And then your last project actually gives you, I got a lot of, just working on Pakal Lok for 3.5 years was kind of almost like a, taught me so much, and it makes you braver, and it makes you more intelligent of, Pakal Lok was more political.
Yeah.
It makes me actually more intelligent to how to say things that, won't hurt people and still they accept it.
Yeah.
So Kora was that effort from all of us, me taking Sudeep, but we are not trying to make a scene, but we are still trying to say a lot about a family politics, which we are trying to juxtapose with the with the state politics, with the gender politics, with a lot of politics that we have.
Mm.
But what we're really trying to do, we are trying to tell you a family story. And it's a very personal show. I don't think, I'll make another show which is so close to me. Maybe because I've spent so much time with these characters, and maybe, all of that. But the great thing is it became so personal for every one of us, even for Randeep, even for every one of us. So that you don't get these kind of projects or shows or stories every day. So that was, I think we are extremely lucky. I never thought this show would get made the way it got made.
And even to add to that, just think that things like the fact that every character works, every actor works. You're not looking at a part scene. It's not that. It's like, okay, man, it's so it is looking like even Sapna, Sapna, the other, it was so nice to see her. So, do we consider ourselves lucky? Absolutely. But I think one thing that kind of, what helps with Kora and its success is that it also allows us, and for, I guess for anybody else also, it can be done.
Yeah.
It can be done. It is possible to do it. It may not. It may take longer. It might be maybe a little harder, but it can be done. It's not.
And it can be done in another language. It could be done.
That is the main thing. Yeah.
And you could tell story of the heartland, not in the sense that story of the heartland earlier meant crime. Earlier meant only crime. Story of the heartland means kidnapping this, and you're showing how much crime there is in UP, Bihar. So I think the story, the notion of story of the heartland should change. Story of the heartland could be a love story. Story of the heartland could be about family.
Hmm.
And it doesn't have to be a caricature of that particular region, which you tend to start to see so much. Which was, again, we were serving the story, and so obviously we were not going to tell the cliches of Punjab, but even you see the UP, Bihar subgenre that is there. There are some interesting stories told there, but then the other stories are like, okay, now we can cash in on this. And then once again it becomes the perpetuating of the same stereotype, as opposed to actually seeing these people as characters and human beings and lives. We are looking at them as, these token caricatures of a particular area.
Hmm.
Especially communities. We've not shown any community that well in Bollywood. We were not cognizant of their feelings, or South Indian. I don't know, some comedian will play a South Indian, have a choti and talk in a certain way. South Indians are not like that. I was very furious at how Punjabis or Sikhs were portrayed in our industry. So, they are serious people. They are, they have the similar lives. They don't do bhangra all the time, man. They don't do drink all the time. They don't, everyone in Punjab doesn't have a gun.
Hmm.
They're just normal people dealing with everyday issues like us.
Yeah.
And Punjab is, it's as fucked up as the country.
Yeah, that's what I think I liked so much, because that stereotypical sort of perception of Punjab that so many of us have who haven't lived there, that was actually the smokescreen in this show, because even the policemen in a way were following that perception of Punjab by going after the usual suspects, and it turns out to be a more modern and a more human sort of Punjab. So I think you very much achieved that through your writing. Just one question before I think we wrap. To both of you, why storytelling? That's it. Why storytelling? Why do you want to be a storyteller? Basically.
Okay, you saved the toughest one.
I did. I thought I'd give you, warm you up a bit, but why?
No,
that?
I mean, why storytelling? I don't know. Maybe I've come from that culture. I don't know. I was just, maybe I, for me personally, I come from a family, or maybe my ancestors came from Pakistan. We had no identity. I was born, my father was both, my brothers, we were born and brought up in a refugee colony in Old Delhi. So we actually had no real identity. You know, when I was growing up, there were Urdu newspapers all over our colony. Suddenly, हमारे दादाजी, when all of them expired, they were like, अभी हिंदी newspaper आ गया, तो कुछ, there is no language which is ours. Urdu was my grandfather's language. Gurmukhi is my mother's language. Hindi and English is my language. In that way, I think I was actually looking to find, you know, not to sound very intellectual, but I was actually looking to find myself with the stories. So maybe that's why I went to Punjab. Maybe I was. That's why I really connected with Punjab. Although my family comes from West Punjab, it's stayed in Pakistan. But I actually got really connected to Punjab. And I was, even when I go to Heartland, you know, even when we went to Chambal for some research, I think even with Kora, I think I was trying to, you know, make sense of Punjab. So I think making sense is with storytelling or with a narrative, it is far more rewarding and far more personal for me. So it's not like, you know, I while telling a story, if you're trying to make sense of yourself and finding yourself, and mostly you find faults in yourself while telling a story. While creating a character, you mostly give them faults that you have, or you're trying to correct them. So maybe for me, it was mostly that I was looking for my own self and a culture, a subculture, who I was. And then, stories kind of do impact you a lot. And I studied computer science and I didn't like it at all. So I think this is way more better than typing codes.
Could you wait first to think about this?
Yeah, I was watching you. You were thinking. So.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to give you an answer that is cogent and makes kind of sense, as opposed to like, you know, some random like, oh, I'm a dreamer, you know, like some answer like that. I think it's words. I like words of going into worlds. But I mean, just to kind of explain that in a way, my sister tells me this. I mean, apparently since I was a kid, this part I don't remember, but my sister told me once I got into, became a filmmaker, wanted to do storytelling, because apparently even as a child, and it wasn't like one of the five, it stayed apparently with me throughout, was that I obviously was like, you know what, this would make an interesting story if this person did this, that person did that, this one went and did that, this one did that, but I didn't know what storytelling was, but I'd do that. And then in school, in high school, I like, now you look back at the way there was sketch comedy. But I used to like put up like plays for like Teacher's Day or like Annual Day. It was simply to escape class, man. I didn't like staying in class too much. And it was like, you know, you take the pretty girls and you take your friends and you write some sketch, get to be a rehearsal, rehearsal, rehearsal. But I think some of that just kind of, it forms who you are. I'm trying to give you an answer.
No, actually, it's both for both of us. Even if I have to entice Diggy into a story, I try to tell him the world that set in, rather than a one-liner of a story. So, you know, okay, let's go into this world and try to do this. I mean, right now we are doing something which is based in UK, and I was like, yeah, this world. I mean, I had certain research and I gave it to him, and suddenly he was like, yeah, okay, this world is very exciting.
So, okay, so good answer. No, but that's what it is. I think the world, you know, I'd like to get lost in the world, so to speak, and then that everything else stems from that, to be honest. And then the rest, I think, is just those things in your subconscious and things that you feel that might come out in a particular character or might come out somewhere else. Or
even with this, I remember I was telling him some UK story. I said, let's do this story. And he wasn't interested. And suddenly, I came up with some backstory and what really happened with the immigrants when they went to the UK, Indian immigrants. And I told him, okay, these are the research papers I've got, and suddenly he was in. He was like, yeah, let's do this story. So I think maybe for both of us, it's the world, and, you know, trying to make sense of those worlds and trying to see, you know, mostly inspired from real lives and mostly from the fuck-ups the history has done with people. I mean, I think
that's a big thing. Today we're discussing worlds constantly and not in this very pretentious ke, oh, but ye world. Like, when you go for a walk and you're here, oh man, imagine, like, you read a headline and then you suddenly hear that somebody, you know, whatever, some guy came home, like, his father didn't want to let him buy his cell phone, went there, like, you know, all these headlines, like, killed his mother, killed his father, killed this. He's like, it's not gay. Oh, this happens. It's just, how do you get to that point? How do you what is it in that inner environment in action? So I think we get sucked into that world. That's probably, I'm going to give you a really stupid cheeky answers because you know we don't have a therapist. But, you know,
it's an absolutely legitimate answer.
I guess we are also looking for it.
So I think that's probably, I mean, really.
I just ran away from computer science, man.
I like that most of us who get into writing have the same science background that we are escaping from. And there's a running joke that, you know, to become a writer, you either do an MBA or sort of do
science. Yeah, in order to make more writers, we should have more science institutes.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much, both of you, Diggy and Gunjit, for joining me. It's been really insightful for me. And, I hope both of you also had a good chat. And best of luck for, you know, whatever future projects you're working on. I'm not going to get into any of that because when I was going through some of, you know, what you guys were working on, I was like, ye toh matlab ek ghanta aur lag jayega types. But no, I'm very much looking forward to your work over the coming years. And may we have more conversations like this in the middle of the afternoon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Kaula. Thank you so much for having us, man. Thank you so much. And thank you to all the listeners that you have who are actually interested in such discourse. It is an honor. It really is an honor for us.
I never thought so many things about my own show.
and your reputation spreads far and wide because when the show dropped, like after my friend sent me one thing going, Rahul Desai has given a good write-up to you guys. Like, wait, what? Yeah. I was like, okay. So,
we did something good.
So, yes. Thank you for...
Yeah, no, I've heard that one before. And, you know, I to be honest, I don't do a lot of interviews, but this was one I was looking forward to. The reason I don't do a lot of interviews is also because I like to figure out from the show the people who are behind it. Like, what you're doing in the show, I don't want, like, to talk to the filmmakers and say, huh, yes, this is what you meant, right? Like, I wanted to figure that out on myself. That's why there's been a distance between the show and our conversation so that now we can maybe go over it. So, you know, thank you for making this one of my maybe interviews that I'll continue doing in the future. Who knows?
Thanks a lot. It's been an honor. Thank you so much. Thank you.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.